What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
It's good to be with you on this Friday morning. We are going to be talking about NAPLAND today. Good morning and welcome to the studio. Craig Hunter, Deputy Principal of Rehoboth Christian College.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to have you back in. I can't believe NAPLAND is it next week?
It is. It starts on Tuesday. And yeah. We didn't have it. We had it last year, but not 2 years ago. So this is the first time for the year threes and the fives.
Okay, well, the big question is, do we need it? Is it necessary? Love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 9313 0985. NAPLAND, why does it create such a strong reaction in teachers and parents as well as the kids? I'm surprised the lines haven't lit up.
Well, I think they're all traumatised, all the parents for their kids.
It's what it is.
Grade three, my oldest, Josiah, came home, and I actually had an email from the teacher basically doing his writing,
right,
and came home, and he sat there for 40 minutes crying.
No. How old is he?
He's now 22, but at the time, he was about 7 or 8 doing his first test.
Oh, the poor lovey was upset.
And can you imagine 40 minutes, looking at a sheet for 40 minutes and sobbing? Didn't write one word.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, I'm a failed parent.
I was going to say, do we need to talk about your parenting?
this is actually a confession time about my poor parenting. And so, you know, as parents, we carry our kids. We want them to do well. And, NAPLAND is one of those kind of snapshots. If we see to the snapshot in terms of what our kids are learning, how they're going, but it's not the whole picture. And we know that they could be good at footy. They could be good at art.
Absolutely.
It's one little snapshot. But NAPLAND is this. It's basically about four 45-minute tests. We've got writing.
What?
There's four. So you can imagine this 7 or 8-year-old kid.
Four? Hang on.
Yeah.
Four 45-minute tests.
Approximately, give or take, about 5 minutes. That's at year three, five, seven, and nine. So we're talking about numeracy, literacy, comprehension, and one more that slipped my mind.
That's
so
right,
and spelling, that kind of stuff. So those kind of main English maths areas. So it's challenging, and it is a big transition, especially those who've got kids who are doing it for the first time.
Year three seems a bit young, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's the government's plan. We'll talk about this after the break, but there is a purpose behind it. It's a lot of work, a lot of money that's being spent on this thing. So we want to make sure we learn the data. I think the challenge with standardized testing, which is what it is around the world, is it can reduce kids to a piece of data. And we know that kids are much more than that. The flip side is data can be helpful, but can also be something that actually reduces kids. And we've got to think, hey, is this helping us, this data, for our school and for our country so we can compete against China and Singapore? Mm. Or is it putting unnecessary pressure on our kids and actually crippling them? So they're tough questions that parents as well as schools ask.
We did a poll on our Instagram page last night.
Great.
We asked the question, do you agree with NAPLAND? A simple yes or no.
Yep.
44% agree.
Okay.
So it's kind of this 50-50 thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? We've got a few calls coming through now.
Great.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have a chat to whoever's on the line right after this. 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike, and Craig Hunter is with me from Rehoboth Christian College. You're still the deputy principal down there, Craig?
Yes, as well as teaching grade four.
Grade four. Both. Very good. Now, we've got good morning. Is that Nate? Good morning.
Daniel.
Hi, good morning, Daniel.
Craig. How are you guys?
Yeah, good, thanks, Daniel.
Comment or question, Daniel? Fire away.
Just a comment. I think it's good for kids to get tested every now and then because you can't go to school and do nothing for, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. It's like what Craig said, it's a snapshot of where we are at rather than, and I know, Mike, you don't like homework. I remember you mentioned this with Natalie, right?
Yes, homework. Don't start me on that.
And coming from an Asian perspective, it's not about the grade. It's more about the ability to sit down and be disciplined to put, 10 minutes aside, 15 minutes aside every day just to do what you need to do. I think it's very important for a child to have, that kind of discipline because it helps in every facet of life in the future.
Okay. Daniel, how old are your kids? Just interested.
Year 10, year 7, and year 5.
So will they be, are they part of NAPLAN?
Yeah, so certainly year 5 and year 7, so they'll be doing this year. Yep.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Daniel. You're on the, you like it. Really appreciate your call today. Thanks, Daniel. And we've also got, who else have we got there, Beck? We've got someone else. Ruben. Hello, Ruben. Nice to talk to you this morning. You got a comment or question?
A comment, honestly. So, in my opinion, I've got this year, I left uni, but I graduated high school in 2019. And I honestly cannot stand NAPLAN. It puts way too much pressure on students that don't even need the pressure. Like, there is, I understand that they say that it's to gauge where the students are at, but I had a lot of different, a lot of students in my class, all at different levels. I had the smartest kid in the entire school in a lot of my classes, and I also had the, not some of the more challenged kids in the school, and obviously their test results are very, very much on the opposite ends of the spectrum. But there was no change in what actually happened in the class. They weren't moved to, the kids who had struggled were not moved to any specialist classing or anything like that because there wasn't enough students to do so. So, and not just with NAPLAN, but the entirety of the standardized testing, I feel, is just, like, they have barely changed in the last 150 years. Obviously, cars and TVs and all that stuff were very, very different 150 years ago. These weren't really in existence.
Ruben, that's, you make some good points, and it's really great hearing hearing from Ruben, who's a student, graduated in 2019, thought it was a waste of time.
Yeah, and so we've got both perspectives.
Yeah,
I think
good, though. It's good.
Certainly, Daniel's point is this, is that in life we face tests, we face challenges. So if we don't prepare our kids for those challenges and those tests, we're not doing them a service, you know? So I think there's that part of what I agree with. A bit like homework, you know, we're getting our kids used to routine and doing work independently. And so I would say that's important, but I also hear Ruben's point. And, you know, for some kids, they already know they're struggling.
Yeah.
So let's make them through four tests every 2 years to reinforce their understanding. And I think one of the challenges they've got is, where do those marks go? You know, do they go just to the teachers to help them inform their teaching, or they get published widely? It pressures about the school's got to make sure they've got their NAPLAN results up. The parents look at the results and get anxious about what they've got. So if those data is helping, giving feedback to help them learn, that's good. But if it becomes like a benchmark that makes them feel like failing or success, a bit like Ruben said, that person that's always doing well is going to reinforce that they're really smart.
Yeah.
And the ones
that
are struggling go, yep, I know I'm dumb. And that just reinforces how I feel about myself. And so I do think there's a lot of understanding about how we interpret the data and how we use that data that's got to be done better. So thank you so much for those comments.
We'll take a break. We've got more calls coming through. You mentioned four times 45-minute tests.
Yes.
I reckon I'd be crying as well if I had to sit those. 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Craig Hunter from Rehoboth Christian College is with me. We've been talking about NAPLAN. 56% of people that we surveyed last night don't agree with it, which is interesting. Did that surprise you?
It doesn't. And I think it creates a lot of polarizing debate. I mean, it was Julia Gillard who brought it in. And if you remember, the whole idea was...
it's Julia's fault.
It's Julia. Right. And basically the idea was, let's create some standardized things across Australia rather than each state to try and work out where we're at and how we rank worldwide and how we can do better.
Jane, good morning. You got a comment or a question this morning?
I do. Good morning. This is the first year my kids have experienced it. I've got two in year 5 and year 3. And I just think that it's not a real reflection of my children's, especially one in particular, her ability, because of the way the test is set out. So she is really capable and she can answer all these questions. But in the setting and the pressure of 45 minutes and her having to do it, she won't do good in this test. So it won't be a true reflection of where she stands. And I also have a problem with the fact that they have so much preparation before this NAPLAN test next week. So they've had more homework come home. We've had, like, mock NAPLAN, like previous years, examples to do with them at home to prepare them. And so especially for one, she finds it so stressful. and she couldn't even do half the 45 minutes with me, and which is making her more anxious, even though I tell her she doesn't have to do it.
Fascinating. That's interesting.
Yeah, it is a common thing. I mean, they've got NAPLAN cram school. So in the school holidays, you can send your kids to NAPLAN cram school. So it's become an industry. I think it loses some of the purpose. Remember, this is the data that's going to help us with our kids' learning. And exactly what Jane's saying, it's kind of, I think sometimes the pressure, the preparation is probably not what it was designed for. And you can push back as a parent.
Yeah.
And I'll be saying, look, this is not what this is about. And especially I think of kids in my class who are more oral. They can explain stuff,
yes,
but they can't write it. They can't express it.
Yep.
Those from not an English background, there's a lot of English in the questions, even with maths and numeracy. How is that fair for them? So there's a lot of question marks. Mm. And I do hear your concerns, Jane. I really appreciate your comment.
Thanks, Jane. Good morning, Damien. What are your thoughts? Are you there?
Thoughts. I mean, all other reasons for or against to one side. I've heard one that I don't really support that much or don't understand that much. That's the stress that it might put the kids under. Personally, it's more the school or the teachers that are the ones that are really being judged here. The individual student, it doesn't go towards anything for them going forward. The only thing it might affect is that some kids who want to get into certain schools later on or high schools, those schools that consider academic grades may have a look at it. So in that sense, yes, but particularly if they go into a public school, it should be irrelevant.
Interesting. Really appreciate your thoughts, Damien. There we go.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's irrelevant in the sense that it shouldn't define who they are. Certainly one thing WA's brought in, that at year 9, they need to get at least a band 8 to do their to finish their way. So what that means is they need to get a level of almost like a year 8 equivalent across all four areas to finish their way. So they can keep redoing that test every year. I think jury's out. Is that a good thing? I guess we're trying to maintain a minimum standard of what a WAIS is, which is graduating year 12.
Yeah.
And certainly some of those tests are used in getting into certain GAET programs and certain schools from primary to high school. So there is a point there. Yeah, I think certainly the pressure, I think that's come up this morning, the pressure that possibly parents or teachers or schools or put on the kids is not what it was designed for, and it's not helpful. In fact, they actually say that you're not supposed to really prepare them apart from the technical part. It's a snapshot. Do the test. That's fine. You've done it. And then the teachers use the feedback and the government to allocate resources and help. But it certainly has morphed into something that it wasn't intended for.
I mean, Jane mentioned that, or the preparation.
Yeah.
And then the pressure.
Yeah.
So, interesting. We'll take a break. We've got some more calls coming through, Craig. You okay to hang about for a
bit? Yeah, let's do it.
We're going to chat to Avalon after this. 98.5 weekdays with Mike. Craig Hunter is with me from Rehoboth Christian College. We've been chatting about NAPLAN, which happens next week. Good morning, Avalon. You've got a comment or a question today about this hot topic.
Yes. I was a student teacher in the time of NAPLAN one term, and the amount of pressure that's being put on these kids, I mean, they teach for the test, and some students were even asked to not attend school that day because they didn't want their scores to drop.
So, you're saying the school didn't want the score to drop?
Yeah. Yes. So, certain students, like those with mental disabilities, it's become a form of discrimination.
Yeah.
Because if they're not there that day, then other students pick on them for not being smart enough.
Yeah, well, so that was your experience, was it, Avalon, at the school you're at, in terms of how that played out?
How long ago was that, Avalon?
That was back in 2018.
Okay, so only a few years ago.
Yeah.
Did you say you were a student teacher?
Yeah, I was a student teacher at the time, so I didn't have to grade anything, thank goodness.
And what else did you find? What are some of the other experiences with it?
With NAPLAN in particular?
Yeah, with
or
NAPLAN.
Teacher?
Yeah, with NAPLAN.
The kids would get so stressed and anxious that we'd have parents calling, and being a student teacher, I needed to gain experience, so I'd have to deal with them. No offence to parents out there. But it wasn't always the easiest experience, and you could see it on the kids that they didn't perform well. They had great grades all throughout the term, but to spend an entire term focusing on NAPLAN, it's not about teaching to test, as you said earlier, that it's about a snapshot of where they are now, not how best they've been prepared for NAPLAN.
Okay. Now, Avalon, if you were the education minister, what would your decision would be? Would you be, you'd leave it in or you'd get rid of it?
I'd scrap it.
You would scrap it, would you?
I would. I would get them to teach throughout the year and then get a snapshot of their grades at the end of the year.
Interesting.
It is. And thank you so much,
yeah,
Evelyn.
Good thoughts.
Really helpful. And I think that some of the research I've done actually when I was doing my study last few years is that a lot of countries are also moving towards like sample testing. Do you know what I mean? So let's just get some kids, do some testing,
yeah,
and that'll give us some snapshots of where they're at, the school's at, and how we rank, rather than shifting the pressure onto the kids,
yep,
and shifting the pressure onto the parents and the teachers and all the cramming and the pressure that goes, yeah, with it. That was never the intention of NAPLAN.
Okay.
It was about getting the data to help teach better. I mean, for example, about 2 years ago, we saw a gap in our writing. Our writing results were slightly down as a school, mm-hmm, so we implemented a new writing program, which has seen us, our writing, go up about 10 to 12% as a result. So
it's pretty good.
So if we think about it as a data as a tool, mm, rather than as a tool to punish our kids, or as Evelyn was saying, even taking kids out, mm, because it's going to affect our NAPLAN results and that's going to look bad on our MySchool website. We don't want that to happen.
Of
so there
course.
Is there, yeah, is some of those factors that have crept in, which I think are really unhelpful and actually damaging, like we heard from Damien before.
Now, Craig, question. I've got my child is it year three?
Yes.
Okay. They're very stressed about next week. And if I'm hypothetically,
yes.
So I'm it stresses me. Okay. So as a parent, if I don't agree with it, or if I don't want my child to sit through NAPLAN, do I have a choice in them not attending school on the day that NAPLAN happens, deliberately avoiding the NAPLAN test?
You do, and it's actually not a compulsory test in the sense that, okay, if they're not there, they can do a make-up. So if they miss a day at school, they can actually do it over the next 2 weeks. But you can make a conscientious objection, I guess you can say, look, I'm going to withdraw my student from one of those tests or all of them.
Yeah.
I think we have those situations.
Okay.
And that's certainly your prerogative as a parent. If you're a child, you know it's causing unnecessary stress or, yeah, unnecessary pressure. You know, that's one of your choices you have as a parent to say, look, you know what? I'm going to take my kid out of this. This is not what I think is helpful for my child. Remember, you're the parent,
mm,
and you have that responsibility before God and before, you know, before them and their future self. You know what I mean? What do you,
yeah,
want to say to them,
okay,
that I actually protected you from going through that stuff? So
I'm not saying that should happen, but I'm saying, I'm sure, based on what we've heard today,
yeah,
there's parents that are concerned and are seeing the pressure.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is just push back a little bit. If your school is going down that road, I'd push back against the school. Write a letter. Say, look, this is not what it was intended for, and it's not actually designed for that. It's not designed for a whole term of prep and then a whole lot of pressure.
Yeah, okay.
That's actually not what the government has designed it for. So if that's happening, I'd actually push back against that school, and a bit like what Evelyn was saying, her experience.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be there, but you know what? It does happen, and we acknowledge that as well.
Good on you, Craig. We are out of time. Good chat today. Anything else before we finish off? We're pretty well covered, haven't we? And some great calls there as well.
There is good. I really appreciate it. And I guess I just want to say that even as parents, we can be tempted to start getting worksheets online and doing our kids do cram workshops. Don't do that, please. It doesn't help them. Actually, it makes learning a negative experience and a stressful experience. And learning should be fun. It should be a joy.
Yep.
And we want our kids to be lifelong learners where they enjoy learning rather than learning towards tests, tests, tests. We're moving away from that.
Mm.
So let's not go back to that kind of pressure. So as parents, don't fall for that trap of thinking, oh, my kids need to do well in NAPLAN. I'm going to really, you know, pressure them and make it a big deal. Because remember, anxious parents, anxious kids. So take the pressure off your own kids and yourself as well.
Good thought, Craig. Really appreciate your time today.
Thanks.
You are on 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.